can't be there. Financially, I can't make it. Maybe if I didn't spend all my money over the last 5 years buying up items off eBay and auction houses, I might have some extra cash. So it's a bit of a two-edged sword.
Occasionally, you're flicking through some dealer's wares and you'll see one and your heart will race and then you have to try and keep calm.
This is the story of a couple of ordinary guys struck with an overwhelming compulsion, collecting football cards. Val Sobol in Sydney's West has a collection of antique Australian football cards ranging back to 1922. But as he says, he was bitten by the collecting bug a lot later than we imagine.
It came about as about the mid-1990s when there's a bit of a card boom. My son used to collect Spider-Man cards and I sort of went along with him or took him to the shop and had a sticky beak at what he was doing. And from that, I sort of started collecting rugby union cards, which is my other love. And then the soccer cards, I've liked both sports. I started collecting, there was a few English soccer cards came out. And pretty early on the piece, I just realised there was just too many soccer cards from all over the world. And I thought I'd have to just restrict myself and specialise a bit. So I started just concentrating on Australian soccer cards. And at that stage, there was a few bits and pieces around the place. Futera had bought out a set of soccer cards, and things were looking good. And then I realised that there wasn't too much in the way of Australian soccer. You really had to look around for it compared to a lot of other cards and that. And I borrowed a couple of books, one of Australian trade cards, one on Australian cigarette cards, and I started reading through them pretty carefully and found that, I would say prior to about 1960, there's just, you can count on one hand the number of types of cards there were. At the same time, for me, it wasn't a problem because being a soccer fan and sort of going right back and having a look at what happened in the old days of soccer and everything like that prior to the migrants coming out and influencing soccer is quite interesting, but just sort of gone from there.
Damien Smith was a scorer and statistician for local Melbourne teams and eventually the English Premier League before returning to Australia and setting up his football fan and collector site, the Australian Online Soccer Museum.
I still wanted to be involved in the historical side of the game. So I decided to start an online museum with the small collection that I had, and it's pretty much snowballed from there. Through the website, soon discovered that there was a small group of fellow historians scattered around Australia. To be a member of the family, all that is required is that you have a passion for the history of football in Australia. There'll probably be 10 to 12 guys that are informally involved, all in different areas. Most of the work is done by myself, and most of the collection is from my private collection. And every now and again we would get an email from somewhere like Scotland and someone would maybe provide images of programs from games that the Australian national team have played, stuff like that.
You were saying a lot of the work there is from your own collection. I gather this is quite considerable.
Yes, and to the disdain of my partner. I mean, I began following South Melbourne in the late 80s, and I started to pick up bits and pieces, such as programs and scarves and key rings and things like that. I had a few national team shirts and programs, so I'd had a small collection to start with, but it soon became an obsession upon my return from Britain, and I just started picking up an eclectic mix of items. I've got programs and collector's cards, playing strips, letterheads, photos, membership medallions, pretty much anything to do with Australian football. I've been collecting for the past probably 5 to 6 years now.
And a lot of this you digitise and put online?
Most of the items you'll find on the website will be programs and books, things that are easy to scan. A lot of other items such as playing strips and commemorative shirts and all that sort of, those sort of items which I find hard to actually get up. I would suggest that 8/10 of my collection is sitting in boxes in storage rooms throughout my house.
We'll hear more from our collectors a little later, but to understand why their compulsion exists, let's look at the business behind sports collectibles. John Howard is the owner of Card Mania, a shop and sales website based in Geelong, Victoria. His shop is the sort that used to crowd kids of all ages within the rows of racks on weekends and after school, much like comic book and record stores.
We saw an opportunity in a market originally in basketball cards. We saw quite a significant increase in the interest of in basketball with the number of kids playing and that in Australia at a time when there was no or very little merchandise in the country to support this sort of growing level of interest. So we managed to secure some rights to distribute some basketball cards and enjoyed three or four really very good years back in the 90s with basketball cards. That's where we started.
What other products seem to be continually hot, or is it things come and go in waves, like maybe the 90s was good for basketball, it might be back to AFL now, or what's happening in the industry that way?
Well, basically the thing about trading cards is there is not a huge barrier to entry. You can produce trading cards quickly, and which means that they have the ability to capitalise on any trend that occurs. At the moment, the emphasis is on things like Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, where the kids buy their packs and create decks and play in little mini tournaments and play against one another. So that's where the trend is at the moment. The thing is, whatever happens with mainly boys and boys' interest levels, trading cards have a very short lead time, and that industry can react so quickly to have product in the marketplace long before toys or anything else can get into the marketplace. And that's where trading cards have tended to become an industry as a result of that ability to react quickly.
How do you source these products, and how do you judge personally what to stock locally?
We just follow the trends. Most trading card products come out of the US, other than obviously some products for things like AFL and rugby and all that are exclusive to Australia are manufactured here. But the vast majority of products come out of the US, and we just need to monitor what's happening there, and invariably, whatever the trend is over there, it eventually ends up here.
Sounding like a collector whose collection got bigger than he imagined, Scott Edgley is a founder of one of Australia's largest collectibles trading firms, Hotshots. His company is the Australian distributor of the official World Cup sticker collection. These days, he says, it's quite a leap from putting basketball cards in service stations.
10 or 11 years ago, my partner and I, Matthew, we had a friend in the US, and basketball cards were sort of making a big resurgence over there, and he suggested we bring over a few cases of these basketball cards and place them in the market and see if we could get the basketball craze over here going. So we all had jobs at the time, and we had to do this as a part-time job, and we started importing the basketball cards and putting them in service stations and seeing if they sold. We actually almost gave up hope there at one stage, but then all of a sudden one day the phone started ringing and the service stations were asking for more. So that's how it all began.
What kicked off the craze at that point in time?
Michael Jordan was a fairly popular person and celebrity out there in the media, and I guess he became a hero to the kids. So I think he really ignited that whole basketball craze.
What are the range now of products that Hotshots deal with?
We deal with just about every popular license that comes on the scene. Our business has basically still maintained a fairly high amount of collectible trading cards and stickers. We also have a fairly big emphasis on licensed properties in the novelty confectionery area. So, for instance, Batman movie that's just been last year, that was a very big event for us. We did all the novelty confectionery for that. We do lots of tins. We do lots of 3D moulded products that are associated with confectionery. So they're just good, fun, cool toys that are quite well priced.
What is the demand in numbers for a truly hot item like the Batman stuff that you mentioned via the retail outlets?
In terms of numbers, it varies from retailer to retailer, and there are so many different SKUs that, you know, for instance, we do gum rolls, 1 metre of gum roll with a licensed property on it, like a lenticular, and something like that. You could sell 100,000 gum rolls. That's a fairly exciting time when those sorts of things really take off. We're a distributor for Panini, and they're the official licensed sticker manufacturer for the world. They basically have come up with a really exciting sticker collection this year, featuring all 32 nations that are competing in the ultimate prize in football, the World Cup. It's a fairly intensive collection. There's about 596 stickers to collect broken across all the different nations with various shots of all the players and stats and all the interesting information that a soccer fan would need to know.
How are the stickers rolled out if you've got 500-odd stickers? Are some held at lower inventory levels than others, so some become real collector's items?
Something like the World Cup, because it's such a worldwide product, they try to keep the collection fairly easy to collect. It appeals to, look, young kids, you know, young kids that are budding soccer players to older adults and people with families collecting the sticker collection. It's got such a huge appeal. It's something that we really don't normally experience in a sticker collection. Most of the sticker collections we do are for kids, but something like the World Cup appeals to the whole, you know, cross-section of the market.
How are these ones going to be rolled out into stores, or are they going to be bundled with some sort of confectionery?
No, this particular product here, it's a traditional sticker collection. It's a sticker book that people buy. News agencies is normally where you'd find this sort of product. I mean, you can purchase that, and then you'll be able to buy sticker packets. You can either buy a lot of sticker packets at once, or each week the children might buy another packet of stickers with their news agent until they get their full collection.
How do these sticker packets work? A random collection of stickers inside, and they have to try and collect the whole lot?
Exactly. They're a random collection of stickers, basically sorted, packed into what they call as a Fifi pack. It's basically a flow pack made of paper, and they're all randomly inserted, mixed up, put into these packets, and then inserted into the box. So the children really don't know what they're getting. It's a lucky dip. And when you've got a product like World Cup, a lot of the kids, it encourages swapping and trading. You know, the more popular players, they might get two or three stickers for one sticker, and all of a sudden you've got a little bit of a commodity out there with the kids. So it's a lot of fun for them and a lot of interaction, and it's good healthy interaction for them instead of, I guess, playing with their PlayStations and computers, which kids do so much these days. This gets them back out talking to each other and swapping and trading on a, you know, one-to-one level or a group of kids, but face-to-face.
It's like economics 101, isn't it?
Yeah,
a bit of diplomacy.
Exactly. Yeah, they've got, in the collection, they've got basically a lot of paper stickers with shots of all the players that represent each country. You've also got some foil stickers in there, you know, with their team logos or their country's logos on them. It's a fairly interesting sticker collection, and the book's got a lot of information in there too. It's quite educational.
When a fad or something really strikes the market and it comes out of the blue, it must get quite exciting. Do you have to quickly buy in a product when it suddenly got hot or demand suddenly happens? Is there a bit of juggling that way, watching the viral marketing, managing the pulse?
Definitely. Managing a product line is very important in a business. You can end up be stuck with too much stock, and particularly with these hot items, children and adults alike, we all move on to the next thing very quickly. I mean, we've had three fairly significant sporting events this year. We've sort of had the football, and not to mention the cricket, so that's the fourth. We've had the Commonwealth Games, and now we've got the World Cup. So managing hot properties is definitely something that requires a fair bit of expertise. But when you do have a hot property, there's a lot of buzz around in the office, like from the people taking the orders to the guys down in the warehouse. It's almost like a little bit of a stock market with people moving stock around and packing boxes and sending them out. And there's a real buzz around the place when you've really got a hot property.
Val Sobol, remember, has a set of 84-year-old Australian football trading cards. Is the collector scene, does it go on some sort of ebb and flow, almost like the hula hoop and the yo-yo comes back every now and then?
Yes, it appears that way. Yes, I can remember being at school in the 60s, yeah, the football, the chewing gum and the football cards and everything like that, being very popular, and then it seemed to phase out. And then in the 70s, it sort of come back again. The kids seemed to be chasing around collecting. And then I would say back to about the mid-90s when the trading cards, and you had, so it seemed to be a trading card shop or two just about in every suburb.
Yeah, they're fun people, those, the collectors you mentioned, and some of them are quite zany characters. And we know when we've got a really good property out there in terms of collectability, because all of a sudden those guys are ringing us directly, asking us questions, asking us where they can buy it. And that's when we can sort of feel the pulse of a really hot item starting. The World Cup, something like that, we've just had a lot of phone calls over the last 3 weeks really asking where they can buy the World Cup soccer sticker collection, and prior to that it was very quiet. So those sort of collectors you're talking about or speak of, those guys are really at the forefront of the crazes when they take off.